Now, he said Elijah already came. They don't think Elijah's come. See, the church. You see? Ignorance repeats its... You see? They said, huh, Elijah. We ain't seen Elijah. Why? Because they think Elijah was going to come back in the... Because they're thinking... Uh-huh. Y'all catching it? Now he says, Elijah's come already. And look, they knew him not. He's talking about them too. They didn't know him neither. Until he enlightened them. Right? Now look what he says. He said, but they have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer them. Then the disciples understood. Look at that. Then they what? Understood what? Understood what? That he spake unto them of John the Baptist. That John the Baptist was Elijah. Now you go back and study this. They asked John the Baptist directly, are you Elijah? Go back and read it. And what did he say? No. Said no. They asked him directly. They asked him, was he Messiah? Nope. You John? He said, you Elijah? Nope. They said, well, what are you? You know, he said, I'm the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. You see? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. The church has made the same mistakes as the Jews did then. The Jews were looking for a Messiah, but the Messiah was right in front of their face, but they could not see him because they were looking from the wrong understanding. Y'all need to meditate on this. Y'all see? It's the same trick then. It's the same one now. You'll find the devil don't have new tricks, really. Because the old ones work too well. You see? Because why? Because people don't even study history. So they make the same... They do it in the natural. You see, if Hitler would have studied Napoleon and everything, then he wouldn't go on over there and attack Russia in winter. Amen. You see, but it's not that Hitler didn't know what Napoleon did. It's just he thought he was better than Napoleon. Won't happen to me. So the church thinks what happened to the Jews won't happen to us. We're smarter than dumb Jews. Huh, yeah, exactly. Let me tell you about the Jews. The Jews were looking for, who was the book of Hebrews written to? Think about it. Hebrews. Okay. So, what does he spend the first two chapters of Hebrews, what does he spend talking about? He's talking about how much greater Jesus was than angels. Why is he talking about that? Because that was their doctrine. Their doctrine was the Messiah was going to be an angel. So they didn't expect the Messiah to be a man in the flesh. They expected him to be an angel in the spirit and come and save them. So this is why Paul, in writing in Hebrews, is explaining through two chapters how much greater Jesus is than angels. Because he's trying to show them that Jesus was the Messiah. Now listen. Here's the deal. It's the same thing today. The Jews were looking for the wrong thing. They were looking for something spiritual to come. And not something in the church is the opposite. They're looking for something in the flesh to come when it's already came in the... Let me throw stuff out at you. Listen, and I have to laugh about this stuff because if I don't laugh, I will cry. Okay? And I cried so much over the church, I don't want to cry no more. Because I'm serious. God knows this. I've cried and cried and cried and cried over here. Felt like I was getting my heart ripped out over the state of all this stuff. And, I just learned, I was like, man, we don't need to cry about it. We need to do something about it. You understand? How many knows that tears of themselves don't change anything? Now they can lead to change, but They of themselves don't change anything. All right, and I have cried and cried and cried. So don't take this the wrong way. I would look back on some of the stuff coming up in church at first, and I was like, "What in the world? Why did I ever?" They were saying that stuff, and I was like, "See, once your eyes are open and you see that's not a weed, then it's like, how did I ever see that? Why would I ever cut that down? You see what I'm saying?" So looking back, I laugh. So don't take it the wrong way that I'm making fun of the people under the I laugh at myself a lot of times because I believe the same, or thought I believed it. I really didn't believe it, but I thought I believed it. So you understand what I'm saying? Okay. Listen to me. If Jesus was going to come back in the natural and sit down in Jerusalem, now think, let's just put this the way it's taught. You know, he's coming back. You know, maybe people float out of here, but then they're going to come back down. And then they're going to come and set up shop in natural Jerusalem over there. And then all the people got to come visit Jesus in the flesh. Now, think about that. There's like 7 billion people in the world. Do you know how many years would go by before you could... If Jesus would talk to someone for 10 seconds... And then say, okay, your time's up. Next! Do you know how long you'd be standing in line before you ever got to your 10 seconds? Do it mathematically. Do 7 billion, and then times that times 10 seconds, and then figure out how many years that ends up being. But now we're going to all sit down, too, at a big table, right? Natural table, and eat some... You know, have the marriage supper of the Lamb, you know. And then we all just sit there and eat and fellowship together. And then you can holler at Jesus. I don't know how you're going to holler at Jesus because that table is going to be long. See, when you get to thinking about this thing, it's silly. It makes no... See, listen to me. I know this as a pastor. See, I would love to spend a lot of time with a lot of people, but I'm limited because I'm in this... See, Jesus was limited to just 12. That's all He could pasture. He said that. He said, Father, I have kept the ones You have given Me. Except, He said, except the one of perdition so the Scripture could be fulfilled. Is that what He said? So that means that God only gave Him 12 people. That was it. That's all He was sent here for. Because that's all the time He... Because He was limited by the flesh. You think God's going to go back to that? Because that was to get to this. It was to get to what I told you about when that blood went round. See, and that blood, you can fellowship with that blood anytime you... And you ain't got standing. Yeah, you'd be messed up because you'd die first. Is it true? Yeah, they keep multiplying along the way in the line. Keep multiplying in the line.
May never get there.
Do y'all see now though when you actually see the devil and religion don't want you to actually think for yourself? How dare you question what we say? You know, blah, blah, you know. Okay. It stuff doesn't make any sense, y'all. Listen, let me show y'all something. Hold on. So, see, he's saying the same thing. They were looking for this Elijah that they had in their own vain imagination. And they were missing the Elijah that was standing. And then look what he says, though. But see, look at what Jesus says. It's very interesting. Look, he says, I say unto you, Elijah's come already, and they knew him not, but they have done unto him whatsoever they have listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer them. And he says, then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. And then he says, and when they were come to the multitude, and there came to him a certain man kneeling down, he goes in this thing. But then he says, if you read another account, it says that... He says, if you believe. He said, in other words, he's come already if you can receive it. But if you can't receive it, you're going to still be... Y'all catching what I'm saying? Did you know that the Jews, the Orthodox Jews in Jerusalem and around the world, the ones that are real Orthodox, they're still looking for Elijah to show back up? When they have Passover and you go sit in Passover, they'll make a table that one day Elijah's going to walk in and partake of Passover, and then after that the Messiah's going to show up. They're still looking for the Messiah. They're still looking for Elijah, and they're still looking for the Messiah. The Orthodox Jews. You see. And then the church has made fun of them and fell for the same thing. Because that's what happens when you make fun of people. When you make fun of people, you'll fall for the same deception that they fell for. Except harder. Yeah, I hear you, Father. He said harder. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, now catch this now. Just give me a little time. Follow this. Now go to 2 Corinthians. Life's in the blood. Amen. What's the church missing? The blood. Life's in the blood. And I told you, life's in the blood, and that life is in the blood. That life is the light, and that light is under Sandy. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, church is missing understanding. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, now, but check this out. Now look at this. Alright? Let's read this. Let's start with verse 1. I'm going to read through this. I usually skip on down, but it's robbing people really of understanding. Check this out. Verse 1 says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God." Apparently the church don't realize that. He says, a house not made with what? But eternal in the what? Oh, wait a minute now. He said we already what? Have that. It's what John saw. He said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth come." I saw it. A new Jerusalem, a new heaven, a new earth come down. You see. So he's saying, look at this. Verse 2, he's saying, For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. So what he's saying is, we're desiring for this other house we have, it's like to take over. You see. Do you understand what I'm saying? He said, "If so be that we be clothed, we shall not be found what? Naked." Verse 4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that morality might be swallowed up in life. Oh, wait. Morality might be swallowed up in life. Might be swallowed up in what? The blood. Or what? His words. The words I speak. They are spirit and they are life. You see it? So if the mortality was going to be swallowed up in life, it's going to be swallowed up in the words. And the words are the spirit. And the spirit is the blood. You see? Which is the life. Which is the fire. Which is the understanding. You see? Verse 5, "Now he hath wrought us for the same self thing in God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." Verse 6, "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." Now let me explain that. See, people have misquoted that. They don't understand what it's saying. He said, when we're at home in the body. He didn't say, when we were living in the body, we're absent from the Lord. He's saying, when you think the body is your home. See how the devil comes in and twists things? When they go at the funeral, they're like, "Well, absent from the body, present with the Lord." How many times have you heard that? What does it say? While at home. So some person who thinks that this is their home because they have that under, they have called themselves to be absent with the... Y'all catching that? I hope you get that, because I don't want to hear none of that no more. Huh? I'm telling you. You see how the enemy has come in and twisted things. See, I've heard people say this. They love to say, see, it's appointed once for every man to die. So, you know, you gotta die. That's not what it says. It says that Jesus died once because man was only appointed once to die. So he only died once for men, because men was only appointed once to die. Don't mean that God has appointed everyone to die. These religious spirits, these religious devils that come in and rob God of the blood of God, which is understanding, which steals your what? Life. You say, I can prove it. We're going to read down. I'm going to show you. Because it says, if he died for all, then we all have died. That's what it says. So if he died for all, then we all have died. Then, and man was only appointed to die. There's your death. So when he died, there was your one. Oh. You say, well, why does people still die? Because their life is being stolen. Do y'all understand that? See, death is not God's friend. My Bible tells me death is an enemy of God. But the church is so conveniently that it talks like death is God's friend. Oh yeah, he died so he can be closer with God. God ain't gonna kill you so you can be closer to him. Hello? I just look up. You say, oh my God. Well, see, this takes faith. This puts a heavy response on people who want to hear it. They would rather just succumb to what? Death. Just death, come get me. You might as well say, death, come get me now. Here I am. Take me. That's what people say anyway. God told me. God sent me to preach this message. He knew what I'd be up against. He said to me this. He said, if they don't listen, they're going to start dying younger and younger. And the more they don't listen, the younger they're going to die. Till it wakes them up to where they want to change. You understand what I'm saying? You can find this in the Bible because they hadn't listened. See, who used to preach this? Adam used to preach this. This is the very thing I'm preaching now. Adam used to preach it. Who do you think in it? How do you think Enoch got a hold of where he got a hold of and he didn't die? What do you think he got a hold of? It had to come from somewhere. It come from Adam. Enoch got a hold of it and he what? He didn't die. He didn't die. Took him 300 years to get a hold of it. But he didn't die. Said Enoch walked with God and was no more. He saw Jesus only. Huh. Is that what it says? It says Enoch walked with God and was no more. Was that? What do you mean walked with God and you was no more? That means he didn't see. He only saw. And when he saw Jesus, he beat death. When he saw himself as Jesus, he beat death. He was dead according to the Word of God. He was dead to flesh. He was dead to the carnal thinking. Listen, I told y'all, Romans says a carnal mind is death. Listen to me now. A carnal mind is death. It don't say a carnal mind leads you to death. It says a carnal mind is death. I preached a whole series on that. Because, see, we think death is a cemetery, or death is a coffin, or death is a person. It don't say it. It don't have nothing to do with that. It's not death. That's the fruit of death. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is a man in a dead body in a casket is not death. A dead body in a grave is not death. That's the fruit of death. That's the results of death. That's the results of a carnal mind. Says a carnal mind is death. is death. But it says a spiritual mind is life and peace. Oh, so let's think about that. A spiritual mind is life. The words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Life is in the blood. Y'all catching this? Please, y'all catching this? So if a spiritual mind is life and peace, the spiritual mind is the what? The blood. So you're saved by the what? Blood. So you're saved by a spiritual... You're not saved because a man poured his natural blood out from a tree. That don't save nobody.
It's just to be transformed by the renewing
of your mind.
It means that word is the same word used for transfigured.
Transfigured. A butterfly. I mean, a caterpillar to a butterfly. Metamorphosis. Hallelujah. How many knows? You seen a butterfly? You seen a caterpillar? How many knows a caterpillar isn't a butterfly? And a butterfly is not a caterpillar. See, he said, I call light out of darkness. So I call light out of darkness. He makes butterflies out of caterpillars. He caused butterflies to come forth out of caterpillars. Butterflies are not caterpillars, and caterpillars are not butterflies. But he's so powerful, he can call butterflies to come out of caterpillars. The caterpillar has to what? Die, and the butterfly comes out from it. But the death that you gotta die is not natural. It's a mind that you have. It's a mindset that needs to die. It said, well, see, when it said he was crucified at Golgotha. Golgotha means the place of the skull. He was crucified at the place of the skull. He was crucified with men's fallen way of thinking. That thinking in Jesus was crucified. Therefore, death could not hold him down. Y'all catching this? He had a different way of thinking. He had a different understanding, and that understanding caused him to have a different kind of what? Life. And that life was a different kind of blood than everybody else had. Y'all catching this? No man ever spake like that man. That's what it said. No man ever spake like him. When I went to Africa, this young man, he was about the age of being here. He'd been watching me for the whole week when I preached and everything, and he come to me and he said, I've been around preachers all my life. He said, I've never seen anybody like you. He said, you don't talk about Jesus. He said, you talk like Jesus. That's the difference. When you get His, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to consider himself equal with God, who humbled himself and made himself of no reputation, even humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God so highly exalted him and given him a name that was above every name. And at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and things of heaven and things of earth and things under the earth. And every mouth shall say that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, he gave you a name above every name. And at that name, every other name will bow. Cancer will bow at that name. Death has a name. But death bows at the name of Yahshua. That name is a mindset. It's an understanding. When the enemy killed me about 2 years ago in the natural, he could not hold me down because I had a certain way of thinking. So I just walked right back into the body and raised it right back up. And when it was over with, out of my belly flowed rivers of living water and said, death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Because in the blood, there's only life. Death is temporal. It cannot hold you down. Let this mind be in you. Let it. I can't make it. You got to let it. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Let it. He had a way of thinking. That's what caused him to speak like nobody has spoke before. Hey, see if a man comes up to you and says, "I'm the way." You can, you know, like, "I'm the way." And you're like, you know, like, who talks like that? See, you study all the other philosophers. I studied Socrates, Plato. I study a little bit of them. I study a little bit of all that. See, they talked about finding the light. He said, "I am the light."
That's
right. Amen. Hallelujah. See, as He is, so are we in this world. You see, listen to me. He said, "I am the way." They're like, "Well, I'm the way." Well, you might can just excuse somebody for saying they're a way because maybe they're a little slow or something. All right? But then when someone says, I am the way, he says, "I am the truth." Now, when somebody starts telling you they are the truth, now see, Socrates, they all tried to find the truth. See? Muhammad, you read about Muhammad and all these other ones, they were, you know, all this, they're trying to find the truth. None of them, none of them said, "I am the truth." You see? When someone starts saying that they are the truth, now you gotta start taking them real seriously. Because when they start saying they're the truth, then you're either dealing, there's something serious going on here. You see. But then when he comes, see, that it wasn't the level. See, there's three levels there. He said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light." Now when someone says they're the life, that's when you gotta make a decision really quick. Because either you're dealing with a crazy lunatic that you need to get, or you're dealing with a God.
Amen.
And you better find out which one you're dealing with real quick. He says, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the life." He didn't say, "I lead you to the life." He said, "I am the life." What's the life? Life is in the blood. What's the blood? Understanding. I am the understanding. It says in Proverbs, "With all you're getting, get understanding. With all you're getting, get the blood. Because only by the blood you are saved. Only by God's understanding you are saved. Because if you don't get that understanding, you're going to have a carnal mind. And when you have a carnal mind, death is going to be your ruler. And you're going to be his slave." You understand this? Look at this as it gets powerful. My God, I wish I had all night. Listen. Now notice, I'm going to tell y'all something. See, I have no notes. And I can preach like this. I can go on for the whole month. I can go on all night. I can go on. Why? Because He put the blood in me. It don't come from books. It comes from the Spirit. And the Spirit is the blood. Hallelujah. We're family. Hallelujah. Look what he says. He says, look at this. This is powerful. Verse 7. Why? Wait a minute. We walk by faith. Wait. And not by what? But the church is waiting to see a Jesus. But he's saying, we walk by faith. And I'm saying, hold on, look, check it out. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Verse 9, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Look, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether good or what? Bad. Look, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. I trust also are made manifest in your consciousness. Look, For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but we give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance. See, religion glories in appearance. They got the pretty churches, you know, the big ones, with the big, the big fancy ones. And they got the big elevated pulpits where the preacher stands and everybody else is so small. You know what I'm talking about? See, when you study tower, in the tower, and it talks about the Tower of Babylon, do y'all know what that means? It means elevated pulpit. It means elevated stage or pulpit. So the tower that was built wasn't like the twin towers that fell. The Tower of Babylon was an elevated pulpit that they were preaching their religion from. That's why God confused their languages so they wouldn't be able to preach it anymore. They wouldn't be able to come together in one religion. That's why you see now they can't never agree. So they got like 20 different Baptists and 15 different Pentecosts. And they can't never come because their languages have been confused. Don't shout it down. And that's why they still have their elevated, because you sit way down there and they sit way up there and it makes you feel what? Small. When I go preach in those places, I always come on down. See, it says John the Baptist was sent to make the mountains and the valleys. What? It's to put everybody on equal? You see what I'm saying? See, they make you feel you're smaller than them. Then they surely make you feel you're smaller than God. But it says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to consider himself equal with God. You see, now all those new little translations like NIV and all this, they took that out. But that ain't what it said. They lie. Why? The devil comes in and takes it out. He what? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He can't kill and destroy without what? Stealing first. What's he got to do? He's got to steal your life before he can kill you. What's your life? The Word. What's the Word? The blood. What's the blood? The light. The understanding. Y'all catching this? Y'all see how it all goes? It goes. See? Now look, I hear you, Father. He said, I'm going to go through this and we're going to wrap this up for tonight because it'll start to burn you up. You can only take so much fire at a time. All right? Now check this out. He says, verse 13, he says, for whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. Verse 14, for the love of Christ constraining us. Look at this now. Look at this very carefully. Because we thus judge, look at this, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Y'all see that? That means if he really died for us all, then when he died, and if it's appointed once for every man, there's your death. So why are people still dying? Because lack of... My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, let me explain to you what death is. Just because you're not in this body doesn't mean you died. Let me explain something to you. I'll make this clear so I don't want to get any confusion. Now, death is when you see some. I've been around people that are dying. I've died myself. She's, you know, like I said, I finally got a witness. I've died more than once. I finally have a live witness here that saw it. The other ones people didn't see. There was no one around. Some of it wasn't God. Some of it, I OD'd off drugs one time. Kind of two times. I didn't go as far into death the second time as I did the first time. But What I'm saying, there was no witnesses there. But she saw this. She saw my eyes roll back in my head. She saw there wasn't nothing. There was no life in me. I was white, gone. I was out of my body looking at my body. She saw all that. I did that before, like I said, but I didn't have witnesses. So let everything be established with a what? A witness. That's when it became established, when I had a witness. The other one, God just had mercy. When I OD'd on drugs, it wasn't because I had a revelation. God just mercifully brought me back. I was so consumed by fear. Let me tell you something. When you're dying, that's when death comes and gets you. Does that make sense? That's when someone dies. When they dying is when it comes to get you and you can't do nothing about it. You don't want to go. Does that make sense? There's people that finish their course here that really walk in the Spirit with the mind of Christ, and they may leave this body behind. Does this make sense? But they stepped out of the body when their work was what? Done. That's very, very few people. Most people, Christians I'm saying, that cancer comes and their fear and they go and they don't want to, and see, and cancer takes them. That's death coming and getting you and you can't do nothing about, that's dying. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. Let me tell you a story. There was a man of God in the early 1900s. He was a man of God. He got up one morning and, God told him, your work's done. It's over. And today's it. And he got up calmly that morning and, fixed himself some breakfast and ate some breakfast and sent out words with people and told them. He told them, today's my last day here. I'm gone. I'll see y'all some other time, you know, da da da. And, he did. And he went, lay down in his bed, and that's it. Now, that man didn't die. He gave up the ghost. So Jesus gave up the ghost. So he gave it up. So y'all catching that? You see? See, that's not dying. See, dying is, I've been in a room with a man, and he's like this. That's dying. You understand what I'm saying? Fear is just, and obviously he does not want, you know, that's death. That's death coming and snatching you. Taking you where you do not want to. That day I OD'd, death come and snatched me and was taking me where I did not want to go. And I was going down. Down, down, down. A black, black hole. That it was so dark that the darkness would go through you. And I said, Jesus, save me. And I came back with no revelation except Jesus saved me. I didn't even know what that meant though, really. But out of His mercy. You understand what I'm saying? That was just mercy. That was mercy. Okay? Now, here's what I'm saying. Once I left the body and I was going out, the fear didn't get better. It got worse. So the people that commit suicide because of the things that they're attacking, they're tormented, guess what happens when they leave the body? It gets worse. They think that they're going into peace and they're going to escape. It's quite the opposite. They're going into more of what they didn't want to deal with here. And what's that going to make you think about a God that would put Him there? You understand? Well, I understand He put yourself there. I'm going to refrain that. They put themselves there. But how would you think about a God that would let them stay there? A God that wouldn't try to do everything He could to get them? Does that make sense? Now, let me ask you something. This is how God showed this to me. He had to break this thing in me. It took a while because I was ingrained. That was ingrained in me from a young age. You understand what I'm saying? So, this is how God come to me with it. He said, look, He said, didn't I say that you were to love your enemies and forgive them? All right? And then He said, remember when Peter, He said, when Peter said, well, how many times do I got to forgive them? 7 times? And He said, 70 times 7 in one day. One day. That's 490 times in one day. Now, let me tell you something. If somebody does something to you 490 times in one day, you got to forgive them 490 times in one day. What He's saying is, You just got to forgive them what? Period. Because anybody who's going to count and say, okay, that's 489, you do it one more time. You see what I'm saying? You're a devil if you think like that. You see, what he's saying is, now listen, think about this, y'all. Think about this. This is how he come to me and said it. He said, okay, if I'm asking you to forgive somebody like that, and then I wouldn't do it.
Amen.
If I'm telling you to love your enemies, and I'm going to lock them up and keep them there forever because I'm not going to let it go, then I'm what?
Not God.
That's right. It's unjust. You understand what I'm saying? He ain't going to ask you something. Listen, that he ain't did already. Woo, kashata, blah, 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 she. You see what I'm saying? See, this is a problem. This is also why the world has a problem with God, is because the church presents a God that locks people up in hell and don't let them ever let them out. So really, the church is teaching unforgiveness. And they don't realize it. They're teaching hate. Because this is how the enemy comes in. They say, well, this person is going to hell. Then that means you're your enemy, and that gives you the right to hate them. Because they're going to be in hell anyway, so. Is it true? You see? That's right. That's right. See, it's not his will. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. It's going on. Yeah, it's going on, but that's not his will. So what is he going to do? He's going to figure a way. Because what does he say? He said, my word shall go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I'm telling you right now, the blood is flowing into hell right now. It's flowing into hell. Hell is listening to what is being said right now. Hallelujah. Hell is listening. We sing songs and said the blood flows to the lowest valley. The angel asked me, he said, y'all sing these songs. He said, you preachers, you sing these songs. And he says, the blood flows to the lowest valley. He said, you don't believe it. He said, what's the lowest valley? Hell. Hallelujah. Y'all understand? We're going to pray for him tonight. God's going to bring him out. Hallelujah. God's going to bring that young man out. He was like 20-something years old. The reason why he committed suicide, the devil come in his life and lied to him, and he got a divorce from his wife, and his wife took the kids and wouldn't let him see him, and he killed him. So he walked out of the courthouse when the judge made the judgment and said, you can't see your kid. He walked out. He was John worked with him. Some. He worked up at the prison, and he had a gun. He had an issued gun because he also did some law enforcement stuff. And so the gun was in the vehicle. Walked right out of the courthouse, got in his car, and blew his head off right there in the courthouse. He spent many nights with me. And we used to play basketball and stuff and do all kinds of stuff together. God woke me up the other morning at 3 o'clock in the morning. I double sheeted it. He said, pray for Patrick. His name was Patrick. He said, pray for Patrick. He said, do it in service. He said, I'm going to bring him out.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
In front of the place of justice, it happened.
It happened. And where it happened was in DeRidder, across the river. He's going to bring him out. God told me. He said, through you. He said, he come looking for you. He said, because it's always been that way. He said, because y'all were tied together from the beginning. He said, now that the work I've done in you, now the revelation has flowed to him in hell, and he's ready to receive it. He's ready to believe it. He said, I'm going to bring him out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You feel the anointing in this place. Hallelujah. He's going to bring him out. He brought me. He brought him to me. I wouldn't think, I ain't thought of that boy in years. And all of a sudden, I laid down. I mean, it was just boom. Just like that. And I was like, man. It's just a start. It's just a start, y'all. It's just a start. All right, let me read this. I'm going to show you this, and then we're going to do this. He says, for we commend ourselves, not ourselves again, but give occasion to glory on our behalf. I went through that. Verse 14 says, for the love of God constraining us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. See, that puts us all on equal ground too.
Yeah.
Because it don't matter if a guy's a Muslim or if he's an atheist or whatever. It said God. It said he died for them. So he died for all of them. So it puts everybody on equal ground. See? And he says, and that he died for all, that they which live, look at this, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Now look, verse 16. Wherefore henceforth, henceforth means from now on, know we no man after the
flesh.
Y'all see that? Please see that. It says from here on, we no more know no. It says no man. Say that's me. Say that's our brother.
That's our
sister. Say that's our enemy. That's everybody. You see, to know them after the flesh is to know them from a carnal mind. And they're not going to be your brother because you're going to look at their current and the devil's going to distort it and you're not going to be able to tell who they are, and then you're going to speak what? Curses on them, and you don't realize when you speak curses on them, you're doing it on your own self. You see? And not only doing it on yourself, you're doing it unto Jesus. You see? Because he died for all of you. Y'all catching me? It's seeing things from a completely different perspective. You see. We know no man after the flesh no more. So that means the stuff you've done in the flesh, let it go, man. Let it go. You see? That's why Jesus said, I knew you from the beginning. We didn't know everybody from the flesh from the beginning. Hallelujah. Thank God he chooses not. You know, thank God. Amen. Now, that's also too why, if we know no man after the flesh, that's including the one who came and died in the flesh. That means don't be looking for him in the. Because it said we knew him after the. Yo, look, it says it. Look. It says, henceforth we know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, from now on, know we him no more. Does that say it? Is it plain? So the trick that the enemy's brought into the church is to look for this Christ that's coming again in the flesh that's going to save us from our trouble, when he's here right now in the spirit by his blood, which is his word, which is his voice, which is his understanding, to save us from all of our troubles right now. If we, he said, if you would just harden not your heart and hear his voice. Because his voice is his blood. Hallelujah. How many believe that?
Amen.
His voice is his blood. And by that voice, we are saved. Because out of that voice comes counsel. And from that counsel comes understanding. And from that understanding, it creates a mindset. And from that mindset, we see things differently. Then we begin to talk differently. Then we begin to walk differently. And then we, see, I told you, then when you walk differently, then you create different habits. And then those habits become nature. And that nature becomes destiny. You say, let this mind be in you. Let this counsel be in you that was in Jesus. That caused him to think differently, which caused him to speak differently, which caused him to walk differently, which caused him to act differently, which caused him to go where no man has ever gone before. Hallelujah. That man went all the way to stand at the right hand of the Father. What that means is to stand at the right hand of the Father means to take the Father's place. I wish you could understand that. Hallelujah. It means to take its place. It means to sit in his authority, in his position, because he has the same understanding. Hallelujah. Praise God. Does everybody get something tonight?
Amen.
Just keep listening to me. I know you might, some of it, I know it's a lot. It's a lot. I understand that. It's a lot. Believe me. All right. But you just keep hanging around here. You know, you just keep hanging around. And you get more than you think you get. Because what happens is you just try to receive. And then later on when you're alone and you're going through the Word, then it's going to come back up. It's going to come back up. I'm telling you, it's going to do it. You see. Okay? And so that's two why, listen, I know sometimes it gets long, but I'm doing this on purpose because what I'm doing is God told me to do this. He said, because some people say, oh, well, you know, people only have a certain amount of attention span. Listen, that's in the natural. The Spirit has an eternal attention span. How many believe that? I'm not sowing into the natural. I'm sowing to the Spirit. And it will come. It will come back. I promise you. It will come back. And so, in one sense, God showed me, I know that those who dwell in eternity, there's no time, but time does run out on people who are not dwelling in eternity. So in that sense, for their sake, time is short. Does that make sense? For their sake, time becomes short. So what I do is, God told me, because you never know. He said some people will walk in here, and that may be, you know, and then all that sown, and it needed to be sown, because it comes back up a little bit, and then if it wasn't sown, then they would be taken out, or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Because it's sown, and then they get down the road, and this thing hits them, and then it comes up, you know. And so that's why I try to sow as much as possible. I listen to him, and then when he tells me to shut it down, then I shut it down, because he knows how much needs to be sowed. How many believe that? Okay. So, I just keep hanging around. You know, it'll come. It's a lot. You know, it's a process. Believe me, it's a process. I'm in that process. You know, and don't compare yourself. Don't try to compare yourself. Don't worry about that. Let God bring you at the pace that He wants to bring you. How many believe that? Everybody's going to be different. Everybody be different. Okay? Don't try to be somebody else or nothing like that. God created us all. We're all in His image, but we're all different. What members? You know, this finger's not this finger. Even though they're not the same. You get to looking at them, they're not the same. You know what I'm saying? So, God doesn't like copy. Like, you don't like, you know, like you know, we live in this day where these computers, they stamp out stuff. It looks like, you know, God don't like that. That becomes very, you know, isn't it something like when you see something that somebody handmade versus this thing's been stamped out, it's got a different feel to it. Even in the natural, stuff does.
Looks a lot better most times.
Yeah, you see? It's, even when you, I don't know, when I did, I'm real sensitive. And you know, because when people make something, if they put their heart into it, it leaves a piece of them there. Does that make sense? The stuff that's stamped out, like, it's dead. It's like, does that make sense?
And they can make two of them by hand. Both of them,
yeah,
is
their own thing. Exactly right. See, so it's food too. I can tell food that's made by these machines and stuff, and I eat it. I can sense it, and I can also sense it. When food's been prepared by somebody who cares, it makes, I'm telling you, I can discern it. When I can feel it in the food. Do you understand what I'm saying? Even when you raise cattle or whatever, and they raise them and they just abuse them to slaughter them or everything, versus someone raising them the right way, and then later on, you saw the cow to eat. It's different. It's different. I'm telling you, it's different. This death is so entered in to every aspect, you know. But we can change it because God is giving us His understanding, and we can speak life into the things that have become dead. Hallelujah! Let's pray for this young man.